There are some new faces, so normally I would start right into a story, but I'm Todd McCall, so I am part of the leadership team here for several years, and I know I've introduced myself to a couple people today, so it's always nice to see. Scott, Kelly, our pastor, I'm thankful for him. Raise your hand if you're also thankful for Scott, Kelly, and his family. You know what I'm thankful for? His maturity beyond years. I say that all the time. I'm thankful for the fact that he sees in us, not judgment, he sees the eyes of a pastor, and he says, hey, I would really think you'd be good to answer this call. And if it wasn't for that kind of encouragement from Scott Kelly, I wouldn't come up here. I wouldn't have been part of what I call our leadership team, or now I like to even refer to it as a teaching team. So if you haven't met me before, I'm Todd McCall, part of the teaching team. And humbly up here with this opportunity because of our pastor, Scott Kelly, who does not at all shy away from saying, no, I think you can. And he says it in such a way with a big smile on his face and that big Kelly beard of his, and you just go, oh, okay. So can I be an encouragement to everyone who's kind of like, hey, Scott, or maybe some leadership team might be pushing me or asking me or talking to me about doing it. Hey, if I can do it, what do you think I'm going to say? You can do it. And the old water boy quote, you can do it. So I hope that you understand that my being up here, can I be an encouragement to you that God sees us where we are? Nothing separates us from his love, and he will use us in every situation possible if we're willing to open our hearts and be encouraged by that today, because I want to open my heart and deliver this message to you in the best ability that I can. This message, when asked of me to deliver it today, was the transformed life, the study of Romans that we've been doing in chapter 8, and it was suffering was the first word I heard. I'm like, oh. And Scott said, Todd, I want to ask you and tell you that in this, you know, look through the scripture and see what God says to you. And any time that you've been called to ask to preach and you're looking through scripture, God will say a lot of things. And many times, if you're receptive of that, and I have to be, I have to pray for that, your heart's open and you start seeing things more and more. And I'm like, okay, first of all, here's one thing I see. I don't think I could be a pastor every single day. For some reasons, and many other reasons, but one reason is that it is heavy when you go to deliver the message. Does anybody know that? Is anybody that's familiar with the understanding of when you're delivering the message, you may have a heavy week. And let me tell you why you have a heavy week. You have a heavy week because the enemy wants to do nothing more but stop you, show you everything you've done wrong in your life, and tell you how your sin is not worthy of being loved by God, and that is crap. And I'm going to stand here at 49 years old and tell you that's absolutely crap, and I refuse to buy into it anymore. Are you with me on that one? I'm not buying into that anymore. Because every time I bought into that, I have quit. I have bailed on everything that I'm supposed to be doing because God can never stop loving me and or you. So in Romans 8, when I saw suffering, I want to jump right into the scripture if you don't mind. These are a lot of scriptures, and I had all kinds of terminology and cool little words to say about it, and I had to throw that out the window. Let's just come straight forward to tell you what the title of this scripture is, or this sermon, so to speak. It's Suffering as Sons and Daughters. And I want you to look up here, and I want to walk towards it, because our purpose is greater than our struggles. But unfortunately, that's really hard to see when you're struggling. I'm proof of that. When you're struggling, it's very hard to see, oh, what is the purpose in this? How can this be great? How can this be glory? Well, here's the good news. I get to share with you the good news of this suffering. So we're going to jump into scripture. And as I'm jumping into scripture, I also want to say today, I thought, again, worship was incredible. I want to thank every single person who comes up here and does that. And Luke, you're very inspiring. Ken Beck, you and I talk about it all the time. Comfort zone, being pushed out of it. You know what you did? You honored God and you played your guitar, and it was beautiful worship. Thank you for that. Lorena, everybody who guides us, whether you're playing the fiddle, Jen. This is just answering God's call. So let's skip ahead to Scripture. Can we do that? I don't want to get on a tangent. They say in a 15-minute sermon, we're lucky if people listen to 6.5 minutes. So if I have 6.5 minutes, I want to make it the best 6.5 minutes I can. Is that great? Let's look at Scripture, because there's a lot of Scripture in this. And I want to do something, please, after that. So we'll just skip right ahead to Scripture. Ben, you're on it. Thank you. It says here that in Romans 8 through 28, not to mention I also got 10 verses to cover, so in there is a lot. But it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us, to us by Christ. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, not because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemptions of our body," or the redemption of our bodies. "For in this," in verse 24 it says, "for in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is not hope. Again, hope that is not seen is not hope. For who hopes in what we see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because," great news, "the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And verse 28 says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." That's the good news. It's a lot of Scripture. Let me say this. You remember last week from Scott's message that he talked about the adoption process of being sons, and he also mentioned daughters, but they used a word in that time, sons, in a masculine form. With his permission and together, I'm using sons and daughters, and I don't want to say you. Today, I want to try to use we. Is that? If I use you, you'll probably point that out and go, he said he's going to use we. I'm going to try to use we, us, because I suffer too. Okay? And in this Scripture, last week he talked about, and he gave staggering stats of what it's like for a son or child not to have a father, and in return, the same as a mother. The percentages were staggering, weren't they? As a teacher, I see that every day in the neglect when someone lacks a father, or in that fact, a mother. So let me say this. That was the Scripture last week, and there was still good news brought in it, because the good news today is, even though we're suffering, I'm going to be talking about adoption, the adoption of being sons and daughters. Suffering is part of that. So we can have the good news of being adopted. But let's go to the suffering part for a moment if we can. Because when I was preparing this, and in this slide, I pointed out these because this is what was heavy on my heart, this form of suffering. So when I was preparing for this, and you can look on the slide for a moment, and you're probably looking at it, and this is real pain. This is real suffering up here on this list. The night before I sent the information to Scott and Lorena as to what I was preaching, I was in Giant. And being a teacher, when you're in Giant, you know everybody. You know the cashier, the cashiers. You know the person at the pharmacy, which can be embarrassing as you're older, especially the procedure I'm preparing for at almost 50 years old on Monday. So I'm not even eating today. I got to let you know that. So this is, I feel a little suffering today, but in light of that, the woman that's at the pharmacy has known me for years, and I taught her son. And anytime I go there, she's usually waiting for my prescription. She knows where it's at and where the McCall section is and all that in the pharmacy. And I humbly, having that proceed. Yeah. But I looked in her eyes and I saw something. And this is where God's pointing out suffering to me in getting ready for the Scripture. and getting ready to deliver to you today. He points out to me as I go up to the counter, I notice that in her eyes, and I'm not going to use her name just for purpose of, you know, but I looked at her and I said, I haven't seen you in a while. She said, no. And she's walking back to get my prescription, and she comes in and I said, are you okay? God just put it so heavily on my heart that something was wrong with her, upset. She's not her jubilant self. The joy was lacking. There was something missing in her eyes, and she began to cry. And I said, oh, are you okay? She said, you didn't hear. I said, no. No, I'm sorry, I didn't. She said, my son passed away in January. He's 20 years old. He had special needs, and he was one of those kids that came into your classroom and brought a lot of joy. He wasn't very verbal. He was just a kid that just got excited in all situations, and they let him come to history class. And I said, I apologize, I did not know. I looked in her eyes and I saw suffering. I saw what loss is. I saw what lack of joy in that moment is and the feeling of despair. I walked down the aisles. It took me a few minutes to get back home because I just did not know how to react. How do you react to this type of loss? And it says right there, loss of a child, of six children. You see those? Cancer. Loss of a job. These are true, true sufferings. These are feelings that at any time that you would have this, you go, what is the purpose in all this? Why would I be doing this? Why am I going through feeling neglected my whole life? Marriage that ends in divorce. It can be nothing more painful. Just last 2 weeks ago, I was calling a game with a guy, and he says to me, I haven't seen him in a while, and I said to him, how you been? And he said, man, I'm better. And he said, life's going around. But he said, I haven't seen you in a while, but you know, 10 years ago, I got a divorce. I said, oh man, I'm really sorry to hear that. He said, yeah, I would not wish that upon anybody. He said, anyone. And I just saw the pain at that moment. He said, but you know what? I've been moving forward, and my wife and I do get along very well. We're not married anymore, but we raised children together, and yeah, I'm just trying to get through it. And he had a smile on his face, and then tip off, it's time to call a basketball game. So that moment of suffering, moving forward to something different. And I could see just the end of the divorce there, that was terrible. Loss of a parent. I know some of us have gone through that in this church. A lot of us have gone through these very things in this church as we're up here right now. And you're going through the fact that you have adult children or something that this is painful. Going through adult children who might be lost without God. And that's painful because we suffer as parents in that. Amen? And in the end, I had to put the one that I have suffered my whole life with. And that's anxiety. Because I remember saying, what a good is in anxiety? Why and how could I ever have felt that during my anxiety that was something good? Pulling over the car and not even being able to get to work and just shaking inside my car. From what? I don't even know. Fear. The enemy attacks us with fear. But I can honestly tell you that through anxiety, I really got my heart right with God. Because what I lacked was the fact that I have a Savior that's better than any fear that I've ever had in my life, and more than any anxiety, has conquered the grave and death over. So I do not have to live in fear of anxiety. Because John Piper, the pastor, says, if we look at this right here, anybody who's going through this right now, anybody who's suffering in this church right now, anybody with loss of whatever it may be, parent, jobs, all these things I've talked about, it feels good when someone comes along and gives you a hug. It feels good. Hugs are great, and I give them too. But sometimes when there's so much pain that after a while, hugs don't even work. John Piper says this. A pastor says, that's all good, and those help. God puts people in your lives to hug you and comfort you, but if you don't have a rock to stand on, you will bail in your suffering. I will bail in my suffering. If you do not have the rock and the foundation of Christ in your life during your suffering, I'm not using you, we would bail. We would bail in cancer. We would bail in loss. We'd bail in major surgeries in our life. We would bail without having a rock and a foundation to stand upon. As I look inside these scriptures and we move forward, I'm not here to preach about the suffering. I'm here to preach, if that's what you want to call it, let's call it teach, about the glory. Well, Todd, you just hammered us for 10 minutes on suffering. And now, yes, I am. I'm going to celebrate in the glory, in the interceding of the Holy Spirit and what He does to intercede for us through the pain. And there's no one in here. If I ask this question right now, is any one of you right in here right now, can you raise your hand and say, I have never suffered? Never. Right? Like, for instance, right now, if I just said, has anyone lately gone through some suffering that just doesn't seem to be quite understandable at times right now? Can I particularly and most honestly say to you right now that here's where the good news for you comes right now? In these scriptures, it says this, that we are not without suffering. Suffering is the experience of all creation. In verses 9 through 22, suffering is the experience of what we're going to be going through to be adopted by the sons and daughters of God, as sons and daughters of God. Second of all, suffering is a prerequisite of the adoption in the suffering of God. And in the suffering of God, God is concerned about the trials of us so much that He groans deeply. The Holy Spirit deeply groans and intercedes for us and prays for what we don't know. Verse 23 through 25, I even had to ask God about. I said, Scott, I'm using the word prerequisite. He said, no, that's the word, Todd. Suffering is a prerequisite of the adoption. Man, that was kind of hard for me to say to you and hard for me to take. Like, we have to have a prerequisite. No, listen. Adam and Eve and the sin long ago was not created by the beauty in the Creator. It was created in that time, and we were not going to be without sufferings, failures, tribulations, and trials. But here's what's the encouragement of this whole story from the beginning till now, is that the glory of God reveals Himself by interceding with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays for what we don't even know how to pray for. And last but not least, be encouraged that the Holy Spirit ministers to us in our suffering. Please be encouraged. Because I don't want you walking out of here. The purpose today is not walk out here and be discouraged, please. Then I've lost what I was supposed to be doing. Okay? All right? Are you with me on that? And last, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and groans for us in glory. I got a little excited, and I missed something that I was going to do, and I still want to do it. Music speaks to me through all my times, goods and bads. That's why I wanted to point out today's worship, because I'm inspired by it. And I'm inspired by the fact that this week songs just kept coming to me. And this young man, Jamie Kimmel, writes a song that talks about a reward through even our suffering, and that we have doubt. So if we could just play that, I'm going to sit down for a minute. Prize Worth Fighting For was one of the songs that kind of spoke to me this week in preparation. And I just want you to see it, and I want you to listen to the words. Lyrics of a song are beautiful, and I feel like this it speaks a lot to what we're talking about today.
Lately, been down so low. My faith seems to come and go. Some days, Father, I don't know. How did my love grow cold? But You help me see again. This world is not the end. Jesus, my sweetest friend, You're worth the suffering. Your love is my reward. Your love is my reward. When every day is just another struggle, and every choice is an act of war. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. When it feels like I'll never make it, when my heart's
love is my reward. Your love is my reward. When every day's just another struggle, and every choice is an act of war. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. When it feels like I'll never make it, when my heart's crying out for more. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. Your love is my reward, the price worth fighting for. Jesus, you're worth my all. Your love is my reward. Your love is my reward. When every day's just another struggle, every choice is an act of war. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. When it feels like I'll never make it, when my heart's crying out for more. Gotta pray, gotta press on to the prize worth fighting for. Every day is just another struggle, every choice is an act of war.
So in my excitement, and because I don't do this often, thanks for bearing with me, the point of that song is in some of those words, every day can be a struggle, but here's what we got to know. We got to press on in prayer. We got to press on in God. We got to press on in His truth. We got to press on in His grace, His love, and knowing that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Prays for what we don't even know to pray for. And the reward is not just on earth. The reward is His glory. When we're all called together, living in that. And after I looked at Scripture breakdown, as confusing as it gets, and I know there's pastors here, and man, you guys got a tough job. It's not easy when you get excited and want to deliver the good news and get really confused on how to deliver it. I hope that when you leave here that you gain something from this, that you gain that I know that I can honestly say this, that we're not, our lives are not going to be without struggle, but we have a God who's conquered it all. And we look at the excitement and what happens. I can be assured to let you all know this, that we are the sons and daughters of God. We've been adopted. Rather than being subjected, as it says here, to the sin and death, we reign with Christ in life. And the third point of all this in our adoption, and this is where the glory and the good news comes from, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groans of childbirth for us. And I don't have to ask any mother here, hey, do you remember? Well, they remember. They remember what it was like to go through there. I remember standing with my wife through that process of birth. And when they say groans of childbirth, and you've heard them and understand, and the pain. But you know what? Every woman sitting here would tell you that the reward in that child, when that child was put in their hands. Right? Me as a father, I did not have to go through what my wife did. But I got to be part of that reward of life when they put my girls in my arms. And I know that while we look back at the groans of childbirth, I only bring that point up to tell you that, yes, in that sound of that, that pain of that, there is nothing but goodness and reward in the fact that He groans through our struggles. And being a son and daughter of God outweighs the suffering. Please remember, He will never forsake His own. And in the title of this actual sermon, so to speak, or teaching, I said that I wanted everybody to remember that the purpose is greater than the struggle. God's love never wavers. I just want to say it one more time. No matter what you felt in your life, no matter what pains you've had, what pains you're going through, what pains that you've watched God conquer, where you are now in your life, where you are in your walk in your life. We have a Father, as it says in Romans 8, verse 39, that no matter how deep, how far, how wide, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demon, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. And if I can't get an amen on that, I'm never going to get an amen on that. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Be encouraged, not down. Do not dwell on just the struggles. Dwell on the glory after this. Dwell on the good news of what we talked about. Please be encouraged and understand this. I would love to give you many things to close on. In my imperfections, if I allowed myself to think about imperfections, sin, and struggle, I would never, and just dwelled on it only, I would never, ever, ever have the guts, the heart to come up and even think for a moment I could deliver any kind of news to anyone. Because I would only look at what's unworthy, what I'm unworthy in, and I don't measure up. But you know what? God throws that all out and says, I love you, and you will not be separated from my love. Go speak the good news. Go encourage your family members today, from old to young, from any loss you're going through. And know this, I want to close in my favorite song. I'm not going to sing it, somewhat. I'm a country fan. You guys know that. Brooks and Dunn wrote a song a few years ago called I Believe. Is anybody familiar with it? I Believe. There are words in that song that that came on my iPod randomly or my phone or whatever we call them now. And I thought, man, I really like to play this, but how many songs can I play? I have 6.5 minutes for people to listen. And these lyrics right here, the story goes that an older gentleman is mentoring a young man in his community. And he goes to the old man all the time, and the old man tells him stories. When the old man starts telling him stories of loss, the young man sits there on the porch swing and says, old man Wrigley, how did you just not quit when you came back from the Navy and saw all that warfare? When you lost your wife and then you lost your own your child, how did you just not quit? Like, here's a young man asking a mentor. And he said these amazing words in this lyric. I raise my hand. I bow my head. I'm finding more and more truth in the words written in red. They tell me there's more to life than just what I can see. Son, I can't quote the chapter, or I often can't quote the verse. But you can't tell me that this all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. No, this can't be. No, this can't be. No, this can't be all there is. Because I raise my hands and I bow my head. That's not where it ends. The good doesn't end in our struggles and our death. We are going to see the glory of God revealed. And I ask you today, with me, do you believe that? With me, do you understand that you've been adopted as sons and daughters of Christ? And that's the good news. And that He and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I just want a time of reflection and a time of prayer. And I want to say this. I don't know where you are in your life, but if I get an opportunity to be here, whether you are young, whether you're a teenager, whether age-wise you're one of the older folks here, I don't know where you've put your life or where you've put your heart, but I would ask this today. If you know that you believe truly that our God is better than any suffering that you've gone through and that you want to declare Him as your Lord and Savior in your life, I would say this would be the time. I would say maybe if it's renewed, that you need to be a renewal, you want to renew in Christ, this would be the time. Bow your heads and reflect. and raise your hands and humble yourself before God and say that you are my Father. And let me encourage you this. If there's any way I can help in any way, prayer or whatever that may be, please use me as an instrument for you in any direction I could help you.